By way of looking back, we have spent time on Sunday talking about the supplication of unity, the prayer of the Lord for unity and the source of it. We talked on Tuesday about the secret of unity and our personal characteristics in particular. And yesterday, the supply for that unity to keep it strong. Today, we will talk about the snares against unity, And we trust with the Lord's help we'll be able to identify what those snares are and how to respond to them and avoid them first of all, and respond when we see them in our own circumstances around us. And Brother Sam is going to take us into the scriptures and lead us through that discussion.
Okay, so we are going to be reading in Ephesians chapter 4. Today we're going to start reading from verse 17. And so I would like a volunteer, as we've done in the past. I want someone to read from verse 17 to 19, and then somebody else to read verses 20 and 21, and then I will assign somebody else to read a few more. So could someone start us off by reading verses 17 to 19, please?
So verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through their ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over until lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness.
Could somebody else read from 20 to 21?
But ye have not thus learnt the Christ, if ye have heard him and been instructed in him, according as the truth is in Jesus.
And could someone else read from verses 22 to 24 for me? 22 to 24.
That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness.
Okay, thanks. Before we even get any further into this, this is something that obviously we have been praying about and reading for a while. As we approach this, and as I approach it, it really challenges our hearts. The truth, what we're going to talk about today, is not merely for our intellects. You know, there's something I heard a number of years ago about trafficking in unfelt truth. That's a phrase that somebody shared with me many years ago. Trafficking in unfelt truth. There is a great danger that there are times, because we know a lot about the scriptures, that we can just talk between ourselves, leave here, and then go out into our lives and forgot what we really learned here. So I just want to challenge us with that. And I'm challenging myself with that. It's not just you. So the reason I broke it down in the way that I just did is for a purpose. When you look at verses 17 through to 19, what jumps out to me, obviously, the talk about walk. And we haven't said this yet, but, you know, chapters 1 to 3 really looked at the position of the believer in Christ. But in this section that we're looking at, there's a lot of talk about our walk. Many years ago, I learned that Ephesians is broken down into the sit, walk, and stand. So we're in the walk section. Very practical. But before you can get to the practical, you really need to understand. And this is something that is interesting. God wants us to understand where we are, where we start from. We don't achieve that. It's where you start from. He puts us there, and now he says, this is what you are. Now walk in the good of it. That's what I've learned from this particular study. So in verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk. And when I read that, that implies that these Ephesian believers, they're now believers, but there was a point in their past when they used to walk in a different way, right? That you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. So you are no longer, you Ephesians, you are no longer walking the way, or should no longer be walking the way that other Gentiles walk. And then there is a whole list of things. This is just my list, I see. In the futility of their mind. And again, others can jump in, but that word futility is like vanity. It's transient stuff. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. These are some serious words. We're not finished yet. Who being past feeling. And I read somewhere that had to do with being calloused. It's almost callous. No feeling. Past feeling. Have given themselves over to lewdness. That word is a difficult word. In fact, by the way, I'm going to be actually reading from Darby's translation at times. And it uses a different word like lasciviousness or something like that. I can't even pronounce it properly. It's a word we don't use. But it really turns, it is like filthy. It's bad. And then to work all uncleanness with greediness. Listen, folks, that, if I read this right, that was the condition of the Ephesians believers before they came to Christ. That's what I read. That's because it says you no longer, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles. Perhaps that's what some of them used to be like before coming to Christ. And that, to me, is a start. And it's interesting, he doesn't just say that here. If you look back in chapter 2, something similar. This is what you were like at one point, but now something has happened. Maybe others may want to jump in at this point, but that, to me, is a background. This is what you were like. You were like that, but you're no longer to be like that.
Seems like a very consistent pattern within Scripture, especially the Pauline epistles, whenever he's exhorting those who he's writing to, or when he's, you know, he's giving instruction. That first verse we read now, in the second part, you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. So he gives the imperative, but the imperative branches out of what has been mentioned earlier, and I don't want to go back too much, but it's, in the first three chapters, we learn about our identity, right, individually. And then in the recent verses that we've been taking up, we've been learning about our identity together, right, as one united body in the verse right prior, in verse 16. Mm-hmm. And then out of this, there's, okay, now that this is what you are, walk how, you know, you should, how you're called to.
Beautiful. Any other comments before we go on? There's a lot to be said today, folks, to be honest with you.
This carries the... That just reminds me, like, walk in a manner worthy of which you have been called. Mm-hmm. Carries the idea of the practical sanctification. The idea that now we've exchanged this old man, although the flesh is still in us, right? We are to crucify the flesh, you know, and put on the new man as the passage goes on. So it's the idea of that practical sanctification, living day to day as we are called to live.
Amen. The next verse that jumps up to me in verse 20, there's a key word there. But, you have not so learned Christ. There was a big change in these Ephesians. At some point in their lives, they came to know the Lord Jesus. But, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. And remember on Sunday, some of you were not here, but what jumped out, we discussed this at that time, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. Maybe somebody can read that verse for me. Matthew 11, verse 29. We know it's verse 28, but let's also talk about verse 29. It's a very important thought there that we've heard elsewhere at the conference. Matthew 11, if anybody has it, just read it.